If you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Before we read, the title of this message today, and I want you, if you're taking notes, if you drop your pencil, you're going to lose 2 weeks. This is going to help you. I want to do a little teaching this morning. Title of this message, I ministered this a little bit in Hawaii, but I just couldn't get it all out because God was just developing it. But I believe this morning we can get it all out. How to get from believing is the title of this message. How to get from believing to knowing, from persuaded to committed. Now, this series should last about 8 weeks, and I'm going to knock this thing out in a few minutes. How to get from believing to knowing, from persuaded to committed, or staying confident in the heat of life. When everything is going wrong, when your business isn't bringing in money, how do you get from believing to knowing, from persuaded to committed? How do you do this in the heat of life, or in quote, the battle of life? Because I don't know about you, I want something that works. I don't want to try nothing. Trying costs money and it doesn't work. I didn't try to marry Kathy, I did. Hallelujah, and it's the best decision other than meeting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior I ever had in my life. So how to get from believing to knowing, from persuaded to committed, or staying confident in the heat of life? In the verse 7 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear. So I don't know why any Christian would have a fear. He hadn't given it to you. It doesn't come from God. But of power and of love. So every Christian ought to have power and love, and of a sound mind, which means this, you ought not be crazy. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, which means this, you ought to be proud to be a Christian. Nor of me his prisoner. Or let me put this, nor of Jesse his servant. You see what I'm saying? But be thou partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Or in other words, it doesn't make any difference what's happening in the world. Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Notice this next statement. Who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to the light. Notice how it's done. Through the gospel. Then Paul tells you who he is. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher. St. Paul saying this. And an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. Verse 12 is where I want to get to. For the which cause I also suffer or permit these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now in verse 12 is believing, knowing, persuaded, and committed. He says, for I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that who is able, God is able, to keep that which I have. Notice this, you have to place it in God's hand. Which I have committed unto him against that day. Or in other words, staying confident in the heat of battle when everything's going wrong. You're not moved when everything's going wrong or when everything's going right. You're the same. Because you're persuaded. You're committed. You've been believing and knowing. So how to get from believing to knowing, from persuaded to committed. Now write this down. Now, well, let me just say this scripture first. This statement. This scripture, if you understand this scripture, verse 12, it eludes theological or critical analysis. It has sort of a charm and a passion to it. It just tells you can do all things. But there's a four-step process in which to do all things, to receive all things, and to get all things. Now, how do you get from believing to knowing? Well, first thing first, you got to believe. Now, a lot of people have asked me that know me, said, but Jesse, you just seem to, you know, you never get sad or anything. It just seemed like, when everybody's having financial trouble, you blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed going in, blessed going out. Now, what's the reason for that? How do I react when circumstances come? When you believe in God for something, it didn't come to pass the way you thought. Do you give up? Do you quit? Now, listen to this point. This is the believing part. How to get from believing to knowing, from persuaded to committed. You have to establish in your heart, write this down. You have to establish in your heart, not in your head, that God can't lie. Now, write that down. See, what makes me what I am, the Christian that I am, I have convinced myself that God can't lie. See, God is not a liar. Satan is the author of lies. You have to establish in your heart, not in your head, that God can't lie. And a lot of ministers have not got to that point yet because they rely on you instead of relying on God. They rely on you like, my Lord Jesus, if you don't come, we can't make it. Well, God said all things are possible to them that believe. Not all things are possible to them that have a full church. You see, I've established in myself, in my heart, not in my head, that God can't lie. And when, see, I'm not trying to convince myself. There are a lot of people trying to convince themselves God can't lie. I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing, I'm believing. I'm standing on the word, standing on the word, standing on the word. I'm believing, I'm believing. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm trying to get this thing to work. Come on, Jesus, help me out. But you see, you have to establish yourself in belief. Now, how do you do that? Belief is not a mental attitude. Write that down. It's not in the processes of your intellect. Belief is not a mental attitude, but moral appropriation. The gospel is not the divine book, but the divine man. You know why I know God can't lie? To you, this is a book. To me, this is a person. And when God says, I'll bless you in the city, I'll bless you in the field, I'll bless you going in, and I'll bless you going out. He ain't talking about the economy. He could care less about the economy or the nation or the nationality or the color or the creed. This is not more than a divine book. It is a divine man. That's why people are mad at Christianity. That's why people are always attacking Christianity. You know why? Because you see, Jesus is alive and doing well and coming back. Now I have convinced myself that he can't lie. Now when he says that and I look at a situation that's not working, I don't deny that it's not working. I deny it's right to affect me. Because I believe in, I'm believing, see. But I got another step process I got to go to. So I've convinced myself. Now how do I do that? By studying the word daily, reaching the word daily instead of just Sunday. I've had many opportunities to fail, ladies and gentlemen. I just don't take any. I've had many opportunities to die. I've been down on 3 airplanes. Good Lord Jesus. I mean, I want to tell you something. If you're going down on an airplane, I don't care if you're a Buddhist. I don't care if you're a Muslim. I don't care if you're a Christian. Whatever, praise God. You're going to talk to God. Atheists become Christians. Hallelujah. There's just something about when you're about ready to die, especially a horrible death, you're going to call on somebody. And I'll be honest with you. I never heard nobody say, Buddha. I ain't mad at Buddha. You understand? I'm not against anybody. But I've heard people scream, Jesus. You see, I've convinced myself. I've had some people say, yeah, but. Now that's your problem. You got to get your butt out the way. That's the biggest butt you'll ever see in your life. See, once you say butt, you cancel everything you ever said. See, the devil doesn't know you believe it or disbelieve it until you say butt. You say, you see that? They don't believe it. Otherwise, they'd have stayed with what they were saying. So I've convinced myself that God can't lie. So belief is not a mental attitude, but moral appropriation. The gospel is not a divine book. It is a divine man. Now I'm so strong on that, that is a personal conviction in my life. Your conviction must always be strong, distinct, and confident. It produces the fruit and expression of Christ's great gift of life. Let me say this. My conviction is strong, distinct, and confident. Because of that, it produces the great gift of life that God has given me in an expression. When I go visit some of my friends, if you're in business, if I get around you, I am very, very assured of what I do. I will not back off of nothing. Why? Because I know God can't lie. Now, that's a simple statement, but you got to get that out of your intellectual processes and let that come out of your heart. Once you understand that here, now you're believing. You're not just trying to make this thing work. When the Lord told us to build this, can I say this without sounding arrogant? I never had one iota of doubt in my life that I would build this complex and that I would do it debt free. Why? Because the Lord said I would do it debt free. Now, you know what? When I told people we're going to do it debt free, they thought I was crazy. You crazy, bro. Why? Because see, they only can say that by their experiences. But you know what? I decided to experience what God said. Don't you think Jesus, when he started to walk on the water, his own human self said, that's water. But his spirit said, walk. See, that's why I believe in taking authority over storms instead of praying against them. You that are watching by the internet, you know, we live on the Gulf Coast, city of New Orleans, so we're prone to hurricanes. I don't pray against hurricanes. I take authority over them. I say, Lord, poke their eye out. Because if you poke their eye out, bless God, they got no more power. And the Bible said everything's name has to bow at the name of Jesus. Well, supposing a hurricane came in and blew all this down, what would you do? I'd build it over? That's not the issue. But why do that? You understand? It's not the issue. You still can get it done. There ain't no devil going to run us out of town. But my point simply is that you still win in the midst of tragedy. It doesn't make any difference. But you see, when you believing, when you know, bless God, without a shadow of a doubt, you've convinced yourself God can't lie. So when I pray for people, I don't say, we're going to pray, but you never know what God's going to do. Sometimes he does and sometimes he don't. Or when I go visit somebody in the hospital and they're looking bad, I don't come out and say, well, I'll tell you one thing, if the Lord don't do something, it look bad. You should have stayed home. You hurt that person more than helped them. See, you're not convinced that God can heal. See, most people believe in healing, but when they get sick, will God heal me? You may have heard me say this one time. I'll never forget. I met a woman. She was such a blessing of the Lord. Glory to God. She's way up in her 90s. She said, but Jesse, I have a problem. And I thought, my Lord, what's your... Now, see, she's done convinced herself God can't lie. She says, listen, all my friends have gone home to be with the Lord. She said, it's not right to outlive your children. I've outlived my children, outlived my husband. There ain't nobody left. She said, but I got a problem. I said, what's the problem, sweetheart? She said, every time I get sick, I get healed. And she's, man, 95, 96. I said, what? She says, every time I get sick, I get healed. She said, when you get sick, you feel a little bad. And sometimes I don't want to pray because I know the Lord will heal me. She said, but sometimes I hurt. So I said, Jesus, and he healed me. And I go, oh. I said, well, sweetheart, you don't have to die sick. She went, what? What did you say? I said, you don't have to die sick. You can go to heaven feeling good. She said, and no one ever told me that. Are you telling me? She said, you ain't lying to me. I said, no, I never lied to you, man. Would I lie to you? No, you're too sweet. She did that to me. I said, no, you don't have to die sick. I said, in fact, death and life is in the power of your tongue. Let me get some of you theologians nervous. That's what God said. Now, I'm convinced myself he can't lie. Now, that's believing. She said, well, then I'm getting out of here. I said, that sounds good to me. To myself, I was saying, not now, not while I'm here. Don't do that. To myself, you know. So you know what she did? That was on a Sunday. I was preaching. On a Monday, she called all her children. She said, I've decided to go home to be with the Lord on Thursday. So, you know, I know what the family, not all the family's going, her friends. She has just some friends in there. All the family. She outlived the children. I lived. She said, I decided to go home to be with the Lord on Thursday. She said, about 10 o'clock. So most people think, well, mama's starting to lose it now for sure. You know what I mean? Alzheimer's starting to kick in, you know, and all that kind of stuff. She said, so listen, we're going, if you want to see me, you better come now. Because Thursday, I'm out of here. Now the pastor went, sure enough, man. She said, why don't y'all come on, I'll cook y'all a little breakfast. She cooked, she took care of herself. She didn't drive, but she took care of herself. She visited with her friends Thursday morning. She called her pastor, said, well, I love you, you've been so kind, thank you, blah, blah. She said, I'll be going home by 10 o'clock. Pastor said, we got to get somebody over there, you know, the old girl starting to lose it. She sat down on her chair at 10 o'clock, smiling. Lifted her hands up, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Hands went down, she went home to be with the Lord. The maid in her house saw it happen. Didn't fall out the chair. That kind of sounds like Kenneth Hagin, didn't it? Kenneth Hagin said, the Bible said, but long life would he satisfy you and show you his salvation. Brother Hagin said, if you ever hear that Kenneth Hagin died, he got satisfied. And he said this, when I'm ready, I'll just sit in a chair and go on home and be with the Lord. That's exactly what Dr. Kenneth E. Hagin Sr. did. He sat down in a chair. He ate breakfast, sat down in a chair, and went home to be with the Lord. See, he had convinced himself that God can't lie. See, that's more than a mental attitude. That's an appropriation of the heart. You see what I'm saying? So your whole spiritual fortune must be invested in this way of life. What does that mean? You must become a well-disciplined thinker. Write that down. If you're not a well-disciplined thinker, you're going to create problems for yourself. Now, let me get funny after a while. I want to teach you here because this is going to help you in business. If you need a sale, if you're in business, bless God. If you become a well-disciplined thinker, you can sell everything you got. You can sell it all in a day. You can. There ain't nothing you can't do. Don't let nobody tell you different. I don't care if there's nobody out there wanting to buy. God will send people to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, you know, George and them have this business called body art. So if your body ain't too artful, George and them can help you. Glory to God. People say, oh, no, that can't happen. Look, I mean, it's amazing what God will do. If you need your hair cut or something, that God will move on you at H2O, get you on and get you looking good. God could, I'm just using those businesses. If you want some antiques, well, you don't get ripped off. God will send you to Ida's place. If you want leather goods and alligator skin, Lord Jesus, Will Myers. They know what they're doing. They know how to do that. They got it there. See, and people say, well, it's impossible. I'm using that because those are my friends. But I'm saying, it's not impossible. God will move, God will fly people to you. But see, you got to believe that's true. And that comes by becoming a well-disciplined thinker. Let me say it again. Your whole spiritual fortune and physical fortune must be invested in this way of life. What is that? That's a conviction. Be strong, distinct, and confident. It is producing Christ in you. That's why Paul could say in a jail, it don't make no difference. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. It don't make no difference what they're going to do tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to be with the Lord Jesus. Hey, don't make no difference to me. He wasn't going, oh God, what are we going to do? Isn't that amazing? I love what R.W. Shambach did one time years ago. He's such a blessing. He went to New York. He went in the deep south and he set his tent up. And of course, in those days, the people there, that local, wanted to put a rope down the middle of the tent so that the black people would sit on this side and the white people would sit on this side. But they danced the rope down. You know, they got the dancing and the Holy Ghost and the rope fell down. So the whites and the blacks began to mix. And the Ku Klux Klan said this, we will kill you, Shambach. He said, you can't kill me. I'm already dead. I love that statement. It's not him that liveth, but Christ that liveth in him. You see, now that's a well-disciplined thinker. See, I've disciplined myself in that way. God can't. Now that's believing. Now once I get to that point, you think, well, boy, that's as high as you can get. No. Now you got to go beyond believing to knowing. Now, what does that mean? Knowing is the foundation of faith through knowledge. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Let me say it again. Now, knowing is the foundation of faith through knowledge. In other words, I'm not believing this book anymore. I know this will work now. That's the difference. See, I used to believe when I was little that my mama would spank me. But after I lived with her a while, I knew she would. And my mama would say, when I get you home, because I was messing up in church, I'm going to spank you. And sometimes she would forget. This is on a Sunday. She would forget. And I thought, praise God. Hallelujah. See, the old woman forgot. And then come Thursday, sitting down at supper time, she'd go, oh, Jesse, I forgot to spank you. Come here. I said, that's okay. Forget it, mama. Oh, no. She said, I can't be a liar. I said, go ahead and lie. That's fine. No, I got to spank you because you did something wrong. She'd actually forget. And sometimes my daddy say, well, you don't need to do that, Velma. He called her Vel. He said, Vel, you don't need to do that. That's all right. 4 days. No, I'm a person of my word. I always wanted my mama to be a liar. Praise God. But my mother was an amazing woman. My mama could worship God, lift her hands up, pray in tongues, and slap you at the same time. I never could figure that out. It was amazing to me. The only girl my mother ever liked that I brought home was Kathy. And my mama would just say terrible things. I did date some greasy girls. They're a little greasy. I'd bring them into the house. Mama said, look like a Jezebel. Girl said, who's Jezebel? I said, it's the lady down the street. We know her real well. We really like her. Shut up, mama. But when Kathy walks through the door, Kathy just walks in. She goes, that's going to be your wife. Whoa, mama, I don't want to marry the girl. I just want to, just going to date the girl. I tell you, the Lord done spoke it to me. I said, well, he ain't spoken to me. She said, because you're not listening, you little heathen. She called me a little heathen. I can say that today because she's in heaven, see, so I don't get hit. Praise God. So, see, mama went past believing concerning me to knowing. I drank a fifth of whiskey a day. I smoked a little dope a week, snorted cocaine, PCP, crystal. I took trips and never left my house. I've seen color like you've never seen in your life. But you know what mama said? I don't care how bad that boy is. He getting saved whether he like it or not. I said, mama, you crazy. She says, I got the promise of God, of my family down to 1,000 generations. See, I could not convince her. The word of God was stronger in her than my word. See, she went from believing to knowing. Listen to him. Knowing is the foundation of faith through knowledge. Now watch this. Listen to this point. An uninvestigated faith is an unhappy faith. Have you investigated your faith lately? Or do you just say, I believe by faith? Have you investigated every corner, every avenue, from the back to the front, to every side? See, an uninvestigated faith is an unhappy faith. Knowing faith rests upon a person, not a doctrine. You see, I don't rest my faith on a doctrine. I don't rest my faith just because I believe in the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit. I rest my faith upon a person. His name is Jesus. You see, so many people are indoctrinated that they've indoctrinated God out of their lives. You know, people tell you, oh, bless. I remember this. You know, if you're from South Louisiana, you got to be Catholic at least once. Is that correct? Yeah, we don't even have counties here. We have parishes. Catholic influence. How many of y'all been Catholic at least once? Look at that. Look at it. About 90% of the crowd. You on the internet, how many of y'all been Catholic at least once? Do this. Okay. All right. There's nothing wrong with Catholic. I love the Catholic. You know what I'm saying? I'm not against Catholic. But I'll never forget when mom and them said, we're going to go to this church. My family like to have a fit. They said, you leaving the mother church? Well, no, we're not leaving the mother. Oh! See, but people thought all their lives, if mama's Baptist or mama's Catholic, then we got to be Catholic. Well, or we got to be Baptist, or we got to be Methodist, or Episcopalian, or Presbyterian, or Church of God, or Assembly of God, or Pentecostal, or Word of Faith, or whatever, whatever church you may go to. No, you got to go where God tells you to go. You see, you don't just do it. That's not because your mother's bad or they raised you well. That's not the issue. But see, when you become a man or become a woman, you got to make a choice. You have to believe and know. So an uninvestigated faith is an unhappy faith. Knowing faith rests upon a person and not a doctrine. See, I believe in the fullness and the power of God, not because it's a doctrine, because Jesus said, go do the work that I do and do it greater. Mm-hmm. See, but Jesse, how do you get this knowing to manifest? Without experience, we cannot have the assurance that excludes doubt. You see, every time I have an experience, it excludes doubt. And don't just exclude doubt, it excludes the very idea of doubt. So you've got to have experiences, not someone else's experiences, yours. Without experience, we cannot have the assurance that excludes doubt. So using this facility, for example, I had many opportunities to say, I can't do this. And I had very intelligent people here helping me, architects, contractors, plumbers, electricians, slab people, all kinds of things who knew what they were doing. But the difference was they hadn't heard the voice of God. They only heard the bank. How can you do that without going borrowing at the bank? How can you do that? You cannot build this amount of square footage with Italian marble all over it with this kind of carpet. This stuff here is, you don't see this much in church. This is fine things. You understand? You can't do that for that price. No, you can't. You're talking to the wrong person. I can. Then people go, who do you think you are? It don't have anything to do with me. It has everything to do with God. In me, the hope of glory. See, my experience was in excluding doubt. Their experiences produced doubt. Because they were going by all their knowledge. Well, I wasn't denying their knowledge. I just heard the voice of God. And my experiences excluded my doubt. Now, the reason why I was so strong, because I had gone beyond believing. Because my conviction was distinct. It was strong and it was confident. So it was producing this fruit, this life of Christ in me. And there were a lot of people, I know it, I would walk by them and I could say, we love her, Jesse. I hope it come to pass. Oh, please, Lord, don't let him look like a fool. And I would just smile and go, thank you. You got to understand, they said, listen, I've been in this business 40 years. This cannot be done. Thank you. Appreciate you telling me that. Hallelujah. And he wasn't lying. He's telling the truth. But he hadn't heard the voice of God. He said, prime example, sheetrock. What's the other name for sheetrock? Rock, what? Yeah, drywall. Y'all know. Took us 4 years to build this place. 4 years. Four. Now, during those 4 years, when we first built the production distribution center, we bought sheetrock or drywall for 18 cents a square. By the time we got to this building, look around here, there's a lot of drywall. It was now, what? 38 cents, Ricky, 40 cents, 42 cents. They said, because it was a shortage.
There's no way you can get this for 18 cents a square. It's impossible. I serve a Jewish God. You don't understand. God's a business person. You don't understand. That's not an anti-Semitic statement. If you don't have any Jewish friends, you go make some Jewish friends. They will teach you some wonderful things. You see, God's put these things. My Lord, gee, listen, you have never eaten spaghetti till an Italian cooks it. Why? I don't know. They just know how to do it. And if you want crawfish, don't let a Texan cook it. Oh, I'm going to make somebody mad. You get you a kid, John, a man that talk like that. I'm going to throw you something. A man that like the water so much that he sip it with a cup. Oh, yeah, that's good. They know what they're doing. I said, no. He said, but Jesse, there's just no way. It's just impossible. I said, no, you don't understand. God said we would do this. And people went. And sure enough, the drywall people called and said, Reverend, you know, drywalls went up a lot since you first purchased it in phase one. I said, yes, sir. He said, do you have any place to store stuff? I said, yes, sir, phase one. It's complete. He said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. He said, if you purchase all of it, I'll give it all to you at the same price that you paid for it on the first one. Now, I actually missed God on the second phase because I wasn't thinking. I paid a little bit higher for it on the second phase. But when we started bringing all this in, boom, we went back. I said, just bring it in. Just bring it in. See, without experience, we cannot have the assurance that excludes doubt. See, well, but Jesse, why didn't you say what they said? You must rise above the language of hesitation. Write that down. You must rise above the language of hesitation. I will not hesitate. You got to rise above that. How do you do that? You start by believing and you start by knowing. Now, what do you want to do? So you have to realize what you want to do. This is getting from believing to knowing, from persuaded to committed. Now, I've just got from believing to knowing. You got to get above hesitation. You want a house, Tommy? You got to get above hesitation. Now, everybody going to say, well, yeah. No. You got to get above it. You got to get above that language. That language will hurt you. And everyone will think you're stupid if you talk like I talk. But I promise you, you'll get that house. Now, time don't have a thing to do with it. Let me say it again. Knowing is the foundation of faith through knowledge. And uninvestigated faith is an unhappy faith. Knowing faith rests upon a person and not a doctrine. And without experience, we cannot have the assurance that excludes the doubt. Why? You must rise above the language of hesitation. Now, I just told you how to get from believing to knowing. I know. Now, when you say I know, people automatically look at you and go, who do you? They think it's arrogance and egotistical. No. It's actually spiritual intelligence. Because it all goes back to that foundation of believing. I'm convinced that God can't lie. Now, I can lie. You can lie, but God can't lie. And I've said this many times. You know why God can't lie? Why can't God lie? He's God. He can do anything. Why can't he lie? Because if he did, it would turn into the truth. What? Whatever God says is. And if green's black, if he says green's black, green goes black. That's just the way it is. He's God. So this is Paul. You can see how he did what he did with all that suffering. If you've seen The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson, you never heard Jesus every time they hit him say, boy, that hurts. No, he's focused on his priority. He's eliminated that confusion. Every time that cat of nine tails came down, he said, there goes cancer, there goes diabetes, there goes high blood pressure, there goes crippling arthritis, there goes infectious disorder. Ooh, Jesus. Even when his mama says, I'm here, and she just touched your heart when Mary said that, he could have said, Mama, I'm hurting. He says, I'm creating a new day. He's went above the language of hesitation. Are y'all getting this? Are you enjoying this? I want to get funny, but I want to stay as well. Because see, many of you need to rise to higher levels. And you will, Lord Jesus, you will. I know this sounds like, get me on your side. Stick with me. I'm not trying to do something for myself. Have I ever asked any of y'all for anything? Yes, I'm telling you, this will work. Not some of the time, but all the time. If I died with a disease, it don't change what I preached. It ain't got anything to do with me. It's got everything to do with him. Get above that hesitation. Now, I just showed you believing to know it. Now, buddy, you're strong when you went past believing to know. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed. Then he says, I'm persuaded. Whoo, now you're getting to a higher level here. Let's deal with this persuaded. Persuasion makes you great all over. Write that down. Persuasion makes you great all over. When I visit Dale and Ida, I knew it. I could sense it. And I didn't really know y'all that well. But I knew. I knew where the power was. You. Not anything around you. Not what anybody's saying. You. And if I can pull that out, it'll produce every time. Every time. Not some of the time. See, persuasion makes you great all over. Oh, that's confidence, boy. Now, what does that mean? When you're teaching this, a pupil's wisdom does not come from being told what to do. Living is the best teacher. Write that down. Living is the best teacher. See, a lot of people want me. They want to live off of my faith. And you know, a lot of ministers like that because it keeps the babies close to you. The problem is they stay babies. They're wearing the same diaper they wore 40 years ago. They're stinking up the high heavens. You hear it? You understand what I'm saying? Look, I love babies, but I want them to grow up. You see, but see, a lot of people are insecure. A lot of ministries and ministers are insecure. They want to keep people around them. They're afraid that, we'll just keep them here. Not for their benefit, not for the children's benefit, but for theirs. It hides their weaknesses. You see what I'm saying? But if you are true spiritual parent and physical parent, you want to put in your children, there's nothing you can't do. And one day you want to kick them out the nest because they are sleeping in that nest at 45 years old. But you got to do like that mama eagle. It's time for you to fly, boy. Kick him out. Come on. Why? He has or she has to develop herself. You can fly. You see that eagle on top of that nest. Mama. And the eagle's come over. You're going to get there. Mama can swoop down and pick you up while you're falling. But you see, you got to get them out the nest. A pupil's wisdom does not come from being told what to do. Living is the best teacher. Now watch this. Yeah, but I'm trying. No, you don't try. Don't reach too high for your answers. Let me help you about persuasion. Don't reach too high for your answers. Necessary truth grows on low branches. You ain't got to be like, oh, if I could just get where he is. If I could just get where. No, where he's, the reason why he got there, he fed himself off the low branch. Necessary truth grows on low branches. Quit trying to become whoever you like. You are unique. You are an individual. We need you in the world. Anybody can be a copy, but God made us all originals. You're an original. There's no one like you. When God made you, he broke them all, broke it completely. There's nobody like you. There may be people similar to you, but see, you're so totally unique because you're a creation of God. And see, there's no one else like God. We made in his image. You see, he said, that's why I have no other gods with a little g before me. Don't reach too high for your answers. Necessary truth grows on low branches. Now, all this happened in Abraham's life. God sent him out of town at 75 years old. He didn't tell him where he was going. They said, where are you going? He said, I'm looking for a city who hath foundation, whose maker, whose builder and maker is God. Yeah, but man, you're 75 years old. What are you doing? Oh, and by the way, we're going to have a baby. Oh, come on. Don't be foolish now. No, I'm going to have a baby. But you're 100 years old. You're dead. You ain't had sexual relationships in a long, long time. It's all been in the mind. No, you don't understand. Watch this. God said, Sarah goes, Bible said, Sarah laughed. You got to be kidding me. He don't know Abraham like I know Abraham. Finally, Abraham says, okay. And God says, go outside, Abraham. Look up. Now, this is the father of the Jews and the father of the faith. We're all now in this one body. See the stars? Can you count them, Abraham? No. He said, I'm going to make you seed like that. Okay. Soon as Sarah quits laughing. She hadn't even got to believe it, much less know it, much less persuade it. But now he's 100 years old, and look what he says. I consider not my body being dead. He's not denying it. He calls it dead. I consider not my body being dead, which means I'm 100 years old. Ain't no way I'm going to have a sexual relationship. I stagger not at the promises of God. I know what God said. I have convinced myself he can't lie. Now, he's going above the language of hesitation. Now, here he comes. He hits it. I'm persuaded. Now, persuaded to a lot of people looks stupid to people who hadn't got to believe in to know it. So how can you expect them to understand persuaded? You see, I can understand when heathen people, remember when we was in Oakland Heart jewelry store. And Kathy was looking at a ring or something. I can't remember now what exactly. We were just looking at this. And this man walks up to me. He's a lawyer. He says, I don't even know this man. He says, you just said the plans, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. I just can't believe. Listen to his words. I just can't believe that you would put that commercial on television about that Citation 10. I just smiled at it. See, he can't get that because he said it. I can't believe. So I said, you're right. He just looked at me. I just made a fool of myself, didn't I? I said, no, you just can't believe. I said, what you're afraid of, you would think, certainly nobody would give to that. Because in your mind, you're just thinking, I'm wanting a new jet. That doesn't have anything to do with it. I've had two jets. I'm on my second jet. I'm going to get a third one. I burn up a jet like you burn up a car. To me, it's just a tool to preach the gospel. That's it. I could care less. I don't want to learn how to fly. I want to learn how to land. If I can just get it on the ground, I'm fine. But see, he says, I can't believe. Because he thought that everyone that sees that, that they would turn against me. Now, I did that because God spoke that to me. I wouldn't have said anything. You see, but I expect that because the natural man receiveth not the things of God. Watch this. Because they're foolishness unto him. Amen. In the oil recession of 1982, when everybody said, if you're the last person in Lafayette, take the lights out, Homer, you know, when the oil shut down. My ministry grew by 30%. 30%. And the biggest, it wasn't a recession in South Louisiana. It was a depression. As far as, you know, the oil industry. Now, why did it happen? Because I'm some great person? No, I was persuaded. Let me read this. See, I was receiving my fruit from low branches. Let me say it again. Don't reach too high for your answers. Necessary for truth grows on low branches. See, let me say this simple point. The person you serve was here before Satan and his cohorts. 1 John 4:4, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So when the economy fell out, I went, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Greater. Well, do I believe that? Or am I just quoting that? I believe that. Well, then, this recession, don't participate in it. Now, let me help you here. I know I'm going a little long, and I'm real serious this moment. I want to get this to you. So when people would say, Dr. DePlantis or Reverend DePlantis or Brother Jesse or Jesse, how's the recession affecting you? I said, I'm not participating. You could have seen it. Remember that, Kathy? You look on their face and go. But I never lost a dime and I grew. I was above the language of hesitation. I had believed, I was known, and I was persuaded. Oh, God, you weren't changing my mind. Now, it sounds like arrogance. It sounds egotistical. No. It's assurance. It's confidence. Then it takes me to the final step. How to get from believing to knowing to persuaded. Now, you think that's as high as you can get. No, then. See, after you believe and after you know and after you're persuaded, see, it all has to do with you. Then you come to the final thing. Now you're committed. Committed to do what? Committed to do everything with the believing, the knowing, and the persuaded. Committed. And only God can do what you commit to him. God can't heal you till you give him your sick body. God cannot fill your wallet till you give him your broke self. God can't get you out of finance till you give him yourself. He can't do it until you put a seed in his hand. That would be a physical, spiritual, or a financial seed. You have to commit that. See, Abraham, consider not, stagger not, fully persuaded. This is it. It don't make no difference. I can't do this. So now, Sarah, you're getting pregnant. Now, commit. What does that mean? God can't keep what you can't commit to him. Write that down. Having received the truth, you must never depart from it. The more you know him, the more you trust him and commit to him. When I first married Kathy, I wouldn't let her touch my finances. I said, she don't know nothing about that. She only know how to spend. She don't know how to save. I was just married to Mr. Wilmar. You know, we were really getting to know each other. I took care of all the finances. I wrote the checks out. I paid the bills. I did everything because I thought, she really can't do that. As I stayed married to her, I found out that the wheels changed. She took the steering wheel out of my hand and made me think I was still driving the car. That's amazing. Women are powerful. All of a sudden, she was doing that. I'm the one decided when we buy something. I lost that too. On an escalator at D.H. Holmes as I was going up. She said, Jesse, let's buy us a color television. This one, we had a black and white one. This is years ago. I said, we can't afford no color television, Kathy. I said, you know, if the Lord would provide for us, you know, I wouldn't mind. And I'm going up the escalator. That's when we had a store. Y'all remember D.H. Holmes in New Orleans? I used to love that store. I thought it was a great store. All right. They're going, all of a sudden, but Kathy already had called ahead and found out that the color televisions were on sale and it was on the second floor as soon as you get off the escalator. Women prepare themselves. I'm coming up the escalator with my wife. I am a lamb led to the slaughter, David. I don't know. I'm going to get a revelation in a matter of seconds. I got to the top and this beautiful, sweet, devious woman says, look up there, Jesse. This must be God. The televisions are on sale and it's right in front of us. It's stupid me. I believed it, Heather. I went, man, maybe the Lord's talking to us. Oh, yeah, Jesse, the Lord's talking to us. How many of y'all believe I bought that television? Came home and she made me believe God, the one spoke it to me. In fact, when people come up and say, look what the Lord blessed us with. But she was committed. Then I found out the more I know her, that I'm not as smart as I think I am. And the other day, she tells me, you know, I can rip you off. I control all these fine. I can rip you off. And I went like this. I want to tell you something. And I want you to listen to me. You understand? It ain't personal. It's business. I know where you live. And I'm going to make an offer you can't refuse. But she took my wallet anyway. That's the way it was. Having received the truth, you must never depart from it. This is committed now. The more you know him, the more you trust him and commit to him. You know how she did it? Sound words. Sound words are healthy words. And healthy words are the outcome of a sound heart. Sound words are healthy words. And healthy words are the outcome of a sound heart. Look what it says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That's 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Sound words are healthy words. And healthy words are the outcome of a sound heart. In Matthew 12, verse 35, it says, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. It's pretty simple, isn't it? That's Matthew 12, 35. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. This is committed now, see. And let me say this in close. When you commit something to God, it becomes a divine transaction. Unbreakable and unalterable. I will not alter what I have committed to God. If you go outside the church today and look at the top, that scripture is on Covenant Church. My covenant will I not break. Nor alter the thing that's going out of my lips. Now God said that in Psalms 89 verse 34. But because I'm in God and God's in me. That verse is coming out of my mouth. Jesse says to you that are partners to Jesse the Planet's ministry, that support this ministry monthly, that helped us. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. I will not commit adultery like a lot of ministers have. I will not steal money like a lot of ministries and ministers have. There will not be a scandal against this ministry as long as I'm the head of this ministry. Why? Because I said it, and my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's gone out of my lips. Do you get that? Now, David, I'm your friend. That's forever. Even if you hate me, I'm your friend. Do you see that? See, I'm serious about that kind of stuff. Because I said it. I'm believing, I'm knowing, I'm persuaded and committed. And even friendships sometimes go through a hard time. That's called the heat of life. But that didn't make no difference. Still your friend. And what does God say? A friend. Stick it closer. Or a family member. Do you know friendship is stronger than blood? I'm your friend, Dale. Always will be. I'm your friend, Ida. I'm your friend, Mr. Wilmire. You can count on me. I'm serious I can be about that. Why? I said it. It's a covenant. Now, I went through about 8 weeks of teaching real quick. I could have preached an hour on every one of these points. But I know in whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded. Now, watch this. That he's able to keep what I commit to him. I cannot take this ministry upon myself because I committed it to him. I'm certainly not good enough to generate enough finance to pay this, to pay what it takes to operate this thing. It's in the millions and millions of dollars. But he is. So I commit. That doesn't mean the devil hadn't fought us financially. I'll just tell you what we do. The devil tries to tighten us down financially. I said, get your checkbook out, mama. Let's make the devil nervous. And the first thing my mind says, well, you ain't going to need no money. That's the language of hesitation. I sow my seed, and every day we stand on that seed and believe God. Oh, and when it comes in, we don't get that excited about it. That's when you can really tell that you believed, you know, you're persuaded, and you're committed. Because you knew it was coming. We get more excited sowing the seed than we do receiving the harvest. That sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? It is more blessed to what?
Give.
Than to what?
Receive.
So you see what happens? Now do you see what money is for? It's not just so you can just bless your little divine self. I never forget the first time I ever wanted a Rolex watch years and years ago. I must have been in the 70s. I said, Lord, give me a Rolex watch, Jesus. He said, okay, you little flesh creature. It had nothing to do with the Rolex watch. It had to do with the motive. Never thought in my life that I'd ever give away Rolex watches. They're too expensive. I don't know how many of them. I don't know. I can't remember. I don't know how many watches I've received. I've had probably, 70 watches gifted. 70? I don't know how many I've given. I'm talking expensive stuff. Never thought that I would ever get to that, to give one. But I had way more fun, for lack of a better term, when I was able to say, here, Dennis, and I'll keep the last name private. It's a Rolex watch. Take it, it's yours. Brother Jesse. I said, I'm more excited than you are. I really am. It is such a blessing to see what God does. Our word is our bond. I'll say one more thing and I'll close. I had one of the most wonderful phone calls, excuse me, Kathy, in my opinion, had one of the most wonderful phone calls of our life here in St. Charles Parish. We had someone call us. We were in Providence, Rhode Island. Christine, Kathy called in the office and said a certain person called of high authority in the state of Louisiana. Very high authority, called. Kathy returned the call. We're believing God for something. what we were believing God for came to pass. We want to purchase something. And I'm just keeping this private as I can, because it wouldn't be right to tell you that unless that person would allow me to. But we're going to purchase it Friday if we can. Now, why is this? And not if we can, we will. Oh, do you need a purchasing agreement? No, no. Your word's your bond. They don't do business like that anymore. Everybody got to have lawyers and contracts. And oh, I hope you don't do this particular thing, because if you did that, you would compete with me on a certain business level. Kathy says, I promise you, we will never do that. In fact, we will put it in writing, and this is what blessed my soul. And that person says, you don't need to put it in writing. Your word is good enough. I went, we did it, Lord, we did it. Your word is good enough. Man, I tell you, I turned around, went in the other room, and I said, God, he said, it's good when the world recognizes the validity of your word. Amen. He said, Jesse, if your word is not true, then you're not true. And I said, God, if your word is not true, then you're not true. I said, I grew today. He said, yes, you have. He said, you pleased me. And Kathy's pleased me that the world is now saying what we have been wanting them to say for years and years. And we did it by living it, decreeing it, and producing it. And they believe us. And they can believe us, because that's why that verse is out there. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that gone out of my lips. Did you enjoy it today? Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. It's about 2 minutes to 12. Quickly. I could have been funnier, but I had to get these things in you. I want you to experience what me and Kathy have experienced in our lives. Experience the wonderful relationship and fellowship that we have with our God and our Lord Jesus. I would do you a disservice, and you that are watching all over the world, by not giving you an opportunity to meet this friend of mine, this Jesus. So as I've said in the past, maybe you were like me. Growing up, you went to church a lot. Your mama made you go, or your daddy, or your grandmother. You knew a lot about God, but you did not know God. And that was me. That was the perfect example of me. I knew a lot about God, but I did not know God. God would have walked through the door. I wouldn't have recognized him. I certainly wouldn't have thought of him as a spirit being. Would you let me introduce you to the Lord? It's called getting saved for the first time. Now, I used to stop there because that's how I was trained, by theology, intellectualism, until the Lord arrested my mind and said, take it further. Maybe you in this building today, or you're watching by television. And no, you're not backslidden to hell by no means, but you're not living the way you should. You need to come back to God. I don't know, maybe some tough times have come against you. You might have blamed God. Or maybe you didn't, you just didn't know why. You may know the Lord in your heart, but there's emptiness, because you may have backed away from it. If that's you, would you give me the honor of going to the throne of God and say, Lord, here's a man, here's a woman, they've had some tough times. Tough times don't last, tough people do. What I'm telling you is truth. Every head bowed, please. If you'd like to know God, which means getting saved for the first time, or, and be honest with yourself, you're not where you should be, but you need to come back to him, would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see and acknowledge it. You may put your hand down. Thank you. I see those hands. Look at the hands. Thank you. I see your hand. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you. I see your hand. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Thank you. I see those hands way in the back. Thank you. I do. Could I see one more? Don't miss my Jesus. Don't miss this. Thank you. I see that hand. Thank you. Way in the back. Thank you. I see those hands. I want everyone to look at me. I would never lie to you people. You know, every time I tell somebody something, I said, now, Lord, my reputation is on the line. Yours is too. Had a wonderful testimony, Kathy told me. One of our friends planted a seed. Was it 2 days, 3 days? 100-fold return came back. Bam. I said, God, you've got to prove yourself. And he doesn't have to, but he does it because he wants to. That blessed me. It blessed me for them. Not just to me. I just said, wow. Many of you lifted your hand from the back to the front. Boy, that took some integrity, didn't it? Thought about it for a minute. Whew. Yeah, that's me. I'm going to ask you to do something harder than that. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand, not some of you, but every one of you, I want you to get your belongings. If you're a woman, your purse or whatever, your Bible or whatever. I'm going to ask you to get out of your seat, bring your belongings with you, and come stand right here in front of everybody. Well, what's wrong with that? Jesus hung on the cross in the front of everybody. He's not asking you to do that, but he is asking you to make a statement of your faith. Get out of your seat and come quickly. Come on.
Falling in love with Jesus.
Oh, glory.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus.
Bring them forward. Come on, give them a good hand clap, people. Ah, God, my God. Look at the people coming. Thank you. You that have come forward today, and you that are watching by the internet, first to you on the internet, faith destroys all distance between God and man. We're going to pray a prayer in just a minute. The same thing that these wonderful people experienced today, you will experience in France, Nova Scotia, United States, Kuwait, Libya, the Sudan, Africa, China, Japan, Burma, wherever you're viewing, England. God's so big, he can touch you. See, I believe that. But I went past it. I know that. I'm so convinced that I got a website so you can watch it, so I'm persuaded. And I'm so persuaded, I'm committed that every time I'm here, you'll have an opportunity to view it. I proved the message myself today. I want you to pray this prayer. All you that have come forward, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. Say it with your heart. Confess it with your mouth. When we finish this prayer, you'll be in God's kingdom, whether it's a first-time salvation, a knowing God instead of just knowing about him, or a rededication, a drawing closer, a coming back. It's a good word, a rededication, but there's something better. It's called selling out. See, me and Kathy, we married forever. There ain't no other choice. Forever. Made that commitment before a wonderful priest at Holy Rosary Catholic Church. Be 34 years next week. Made that commitment. Holy Rosary. Isn't that something? I was supposed to pay the priest. I forgot. On my honeymoon, I went, oh, I forgot to pay the priest. When we got back, I remember that, Kathy. I said, Father, forgive me. I have sinned. He said, you had things on your mind. I said, I didn't pay you. He said, you don't have to. I said, no, I want to. Thank you. I apologize. That priest is now going home to be with the Lord. He's a good man. See, I don't put every priest in the same bucket as some. I guess in every field somewhere there's something bad, but you don't throw everybody in it and say it's all that way. That's not right. Are you ready to pray? Repeat this prayer after me. You in the audience standing, pray with us too. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart, and and I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there. Give the Lord a hand clap. You made it. You made it. Hey. Glory to God. You made it. You made it. You made it. Wasn't that easy? Wonder why the church world makes it so hard. That's such a simple prayer. But you see, that was a prayer of the heart. Well, I've said it thousands of times. I got to say it again. Guess what? Guess what? Y'all going to spend eternity with me. I'm a nice guy. We're going to heaven together. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, I don't know. I may live next door to you. Wouldn't that be something? In heaven. I'll be at your house every day, girl. I'm going to be real tall. I'm going to have brown hair, too. That's what I'm believing for. Now, all of you that are here, I'm going to ask, it's going to take maybe 1 minute at the most to your friends. We'll wait for you. We're going to take you in a room right here. We want to give something to you. We want to bless you. We want to pray for you. I wish somebody would have done that for me, but they didn't care. We don't do that at Covenant Church. We care about you. Whether you never come back, we will always pray for you. We will always believe for you, with you, and in you. That's a promise. If you ever go to that executive office, there's thousands of pictures of people all over the world. That's not an exaggeration. You go see it. Thousands of them. I mean, that's a point of contact to pray for people. We ask people to send us little pictures. It's such a blessing. This will not take long. Maybe 1 minute at the most, two. My brother, both hands like you see this gentleman here holding his hands. Go to, just waving his hands. Walk toward him and go receive something. Let me pray with you for just a minute. Then we'll return you to your seats. This will not take long. 1 minute at the most, two. Would you walk this way? Come on, give them a hand clap as they go. Come on.
Falling in love with Jesus.
Oh, glory. Come on, somebody shout, somebody. Take the person's hand next to you. Father, I ask you to heal everyone in here that may be sick. All those that are watching today by internet, if there's a physical problem. Lord, you said you took our infirmity and bore our sickness. By your stripes we were healed. Now we can lay hands on them, but Lord, I preach believing and knowing, persuaded and committed. They got it, God. So sickness will have a hard time to stay in their bodies. Satan, I get great pleasure in telling you to get under these people's feet. That what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. We bind you today by the power of Jesus' mighty name. I speak healing to all that are hearing the sound of my voice and viewing this broadcast. In Jesus' name.
You can contact us at Jesse Duplantis Ministries, P.O. Box 20149, New Orleans, Louisiana 70141. Or call us at 985-764-2000. And don't forget to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.jdm.org.